Let's pray. Lord, we pray. It's a wonderful thing to be here tonight, Lord. And we pray for your presence to manifest here in our congregation tonight. Lord, may you reveal yourself to us, and may you reveal to each and every heart the true meaning of Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. J. Sidlow Baxter, one of my favorite Christian writers, in my favorite devotional, Awake My Heart, writes these words: nothing is more important. Nothing is more important than to grasp the real meaning of Christmas. A Charlie Brown Christmas. Every year, I try to watch that. This year, I didn't see it on television, but almost every year, I've watched that. That's Charles Schulz's classic story of the little boy trying to find out what Christmas is all about. In this ageless story, Charlie Brown is feeling the emotions that so many of us experience as we approach the Christmas season. He knows that he should be happier. And yet what seems to be bringing everyone else holiday happiness eludes him. The cultural expressions of the season seem plastic to him and leave him feeling very empty. Lucy's unbridled greed in seeking real estate for a Christmas present, and the blinking electronic lights on Snoopy's doghouse conspire to deplete his holiday feelings. Even his attempt to get into the Christmas spirit by directing a Christmas play fails. At the lowest point, when Charlie Brown despairs of ever finding out what Christmas is really all about, his friend Lioness reminds him of the true meaning of Christmas. His views of Christmas, he learns, had been all wrong. All wrong. And when he finds out the true meaning of Christmas, that its meaning was far more than he ever thought, his whole attitude is transformed, and he's filled with joy in his heart. What is Christmas all about? Tonight, I would like to just share with you one verse. One verse from God's Word that I think really captures the true meaning of Christmas. And it's interesting. It's not in any of the gospel Christmas accounts. This morning we heard from the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of John about Christmas. But this verse is not found in any of the Gospels. It's actually found in the writing of Paul when he wrote to a pastor friend of his by the name of Timothy. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, we read these words. It says, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." In that one verse, I believe we see the true meaning of Christmas. What is Christmas all about? First of all, Christmas is all about a Savior. It's all about a wonderful Savior. He writes, Christ Jesus came into the world. This is what we are celebrating here tonight. That's what we are celebrating tomorrow. In Christmas, Christ coming into the world, the incarnation of God. the incarnation of God. Oh, what a wonderful Savior Jesus is. Christ Jesus, who is he? He's God. God the Son. In him, the scripture says, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. All the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature. In him, through his power, all things are held together. And when he made purification of sins, he went and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. But Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. To look at Christ is to see God. God. See him. See him there in the manger. He's tiny. He's tiny. The hands that made the sun and the moon and the stars are too small to reach up to the top of the manger. Again, J.C. Baxter says, his becoming man did not mean that he ceased to be God. His humanity did not negate his divinity. In him, by real human birth, God became inseparably linked to our humanity. It is staggering. Think about it. I want to show you something. You probably can't see it, but this is a little thimble. Little thimble. Now, what if I were to tell you, I want you to put all the water in all the oceans in all the world into this thimble? You'd say, impossible. That's just, it's the, all the waters of all the oceans of all the world into a thimble? That is more possible and more likely than for the infinite God to become an infant. And yet he did it. What a wonderful Savior. In Christ, undiminished deity became united with perfect humanity in one person forever. The infinite becomes an infant. Christ came into the world. He didn't get his start in Bethlehem. He came into the world, meaning he existed before he was born. His goings forth were from all eternity. He's God. Here is the most wonderful kind of Savior. God came to be our Savior himself. Didn't send an angel, didn't send an archangel. He came himself. And God knew our need. He knew what we needed. You see, our greatest need, if it had been for information, he would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent an engineer. If our greatest need had been for money, he would have sent an economist. If it was for pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. But folks, listen, our greatest need, listen, your greatest need, my greatest need, was for a Savior. Was for a Savior. It was for forgiveness. Forgiveness. So he sent a Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about a wonderful Savior. But secondly, Christmas is all about a wonderful salvation. A wonderful salvation. Christ Jesus came into the world, it says, to save sinners. You know what? It would have been wonderful if God had come into the world to save a bunch of good people. But he did much more than that. He came to earth to be the Savior and die on the cross of Calvary for rebellious sinners like you and me. Like you and me. That's why he came. And that's just what we are. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that all means all. That means everyone here is in that boat. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. Someone might say, Pastor, I'm not really that bad. I'm not that bad. I think I'm a pretty good person. Well, is the kind of like the little boy that said to his father, he said, Daddy, I'm 8 foot tall. And his dad looked down and said, No, you're not. He said, Yes, I am. He said, No, you're not. He said, Yes, I am. The ruler said it. And he said, Well, let me see your ruler. It was a 6-inch ruler. You see, if you use the wrong standard, you'll come up with the wrong conclusion. You'll think you're something that you're not. You may compare yourself with someone. You may compare yourself with me and say, I'm a lot better person than that Pastor Les. Congratulations. But you know what? I'm not the standard. You might compare yourself and say, I'm better than Pete down the street. Or Jane down the lane. But they're not the standard. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is the standard. God, the glory of God, Jesus Christ, God Himself is the standard. And compared to Him, folks, we're a mess. We are. We fall short of the glory of God. You see, Jesus came down to show us. He came down. He lived a perfect life. And he said, as he was living that perfect life, he said, Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And guess what? None of us make that standard. None of us. But he lived a perfect life. That one that was born the first Christmas lived a perfect life. He never sinned. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus never sinned. But he allowed men to put him on a cross. He died there. Not for his own sins. He died for our sins. For your sins and for my sins. He died there for us as our substitute in our place for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that we deserve, the chastisement of our peace, fell on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Praise God. Romans 5, 7, 6, 7, and 8. When we were helpless and hopeless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For hardly will one die for a good man, although for a good man, someone might dare even to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the meaning of Christmas. There it is, right there. That's why he came, that first Christmas. Back about 20 years ago, I had a group of children over across the street that used to come over and visit Pastor Les. Of course, I'd give them candy when they came over. Yeah, I don't know if that's why they came, but there was a group of about 10 children that would come regularly over to visit me, which was just a delight. And one Christmas, I asked the group, we were sitting up in the old sanctuary, and I asked them, I said, does anybody here, what's the real meaning of Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Right away, one little boy put his hand up. Boy, he shot it up real fast. And I said, okay, what's the real meaning of Christmas? And he said, Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, and he rose from the dead. And you know what? I almost said, wait a second, that's Easter. And the Holy Spirit went, because I thought, you're right. That's the meaning of Christmas. That's why he came. He came to die for you and me, for our sins, to get us connected back up to God. Thank you, Jesus. What a blessing. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about a wonderful Savior, God himself, coming, the Word becoming flesh and moving into our neighborhood. It's about a wonderful salvation. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And it's also, what's Christmas all about? It's about a wonderful gift. The greatest Christmas gift ever given is Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son. God gave heaven's best for earth's worst. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance. You know why it's a faithful saying? Because it's true. It's faith. It's true. And he says it's worthy of accepting. You see, when you have, for there to be a gift, there has to be three elements. There has to be a giver, there has to be a gift, and there has to be a receiver. The giver is God the Father. The gift is Jesus Christ. And eternal life through him. And the receiver is us. You see, to receive this gift, to receive Christ as your personal Savior, you've got to put your faith in him. Give your life to him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Christ Jesus died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again according to Scripture. He said, listen, I received it. I believed it. Christ came into my life. The scripture goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. You see, there's something to be believed. You got to believe that he loved you so much that he died on the cross to pay for your sins. You got to believe that he rose from the dead. He's a living Savior. There's something to be believed, but folks, there's someone to be received. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's the greatest gift. We need to turn. You know, we in life, we go our own way. We like sheep, have gone astray. We've each turned to our own way. We do our own thing. We try to work it out on our own. We're going our own way. To receive Christ, we've got to turn to go His way. It's called repentance. And we've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You receive that gift, a relationship with Jesus Christ, with God, which starts the moment we believe and lasts throughout all eternity. That's why it's called eternal life. Praise God. Praise God for that. It's a gift. A lot of people don't realize that. Some people think you have to work for it. You could never do enough to earn it. You never could work enough. Could the labor of my hands fulfill thy law's demands? Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. You see, it's a gift. Hallmark cards talk about the gift that keeps on giving. I'll tell you what, when you receive Christ, you can then you start giving Him away to others, and you still have Him. You can give Him away 1,000 times, and you still have Him in your heart and in your life. That's why He came. That's what Christmas is about. 2 weeks ago, I received a phone call, and I was asked by a young lady to go and visit her grandmother, who is in a nursing home and is on hospice. And she said, "Pastor Les, I'm not sure that she knows the Lord. Would you come and share the gospel with her?" And I went to the nursing home and I met Judy. And I asked her, "Judy, do you have a religious background?" And she told me, "Well, yeah, I belong to such and such a church." I said, "Judy, do you have assurance of your salvation? If you were to die, do you know you were going? Would you go to heaven?" And tears came in her eyes, and she shook her head, "No." I said, "Can I share with you something of what the Bible says of how you can have blessed assurance?" And I shared with her, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin has a penalty. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God. Christ paid the penalty. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins, died for us. Salvation is a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's a gift. It's a gift of God. "Lest any man should boast," it's a gift. And Judy, we need to receive that gift. Just like gifts under the tree. The gifts can be there. You've got to unwrap them. You've got to receive them. And I said, "Do you understand this, Judy?" And she shook her head. "Yes." "Would you like to receive that gift?" "Yes." And she prayed and said, "Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sin. And grant me the gift of eternal life." And now Judy's ready. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about a wonderful Savior. It's about a wonderful salvation. It's about a wonderful gift. It's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let me ask you a question. Have you received the greatest Christmas gift ever? Don't leave it under the tree of Calvary. Don't leave it under the tree unopened. Listen to me. He came for you. You're here tonight because He brought you here. He brought you here tonight. He came for you. Will you receive him tonight? All you have to do is turn to him. Ask him for forgiveness. Call upon him. Ask him to be your Savior. He will come to you and save your soul. Charlie Brown asked, "What's Christmas all about?" And Linus responded, "There were shepherds out in the fields watching over their flocks by night. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not fear, for I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Amen. Folks, that's the meaning of Christmas. Lord, we bow before you tonight. What a Savior. Lord, even that you would leave heaven, leave the glories and the praise of heaven, and humble yourself and come down to this world, this dark world, to live. Lord, that's a great sacrifice. But that, Lord, you loved us so much that you die on a cross for me, for us. What a wonderful salvation. What a wonderful salvation. Lord, I pray tonight, and we have many here tonight. I don't know where they are, Lord, but you do. If there's anybody that has not opened that gift, God, would you grant them grace to turn, to repent, faith to believe. And might they just say right now, "Lord, I want to be saved. I want you as my Savior. I want to follow you. Come into my heart. Save my soul." This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance. Lord, you, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Bless your holy name. Amen.